Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode number 66. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by award-winning choreographer and director Millicent Johnny. During the interview, Millicent will share her journey growing up in a small town in Louisiana, being enrolled in ballet classes at age 5, and reading biographies of Alvin Ailey and Katherine Dunham. In her teens, Millicent hosted a TV show called Those Tender Years that was met by protests and objections by the local Ku Klux Klan, who subjected her to ongoing harassment and threats, an experience that Millicent credits for the resilience and determination behind her success today. Millicent will also discuss the importance of living a healthy lifestyle and provide encouragement and advice for anyone trying to break into the entertainment industry. Now remember the words of Mark Twain, who said, "Keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you feel that you too can become great." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. Millicent Johnny is an award-winning choreographer and director. A native of Lafayette, Louisiana, she received both her Bachelor of Fine Arts and Master of Fine Arts degrees in dance at Florida State University. Millicent toured as resident choreographer and rehearsal director of the Urban Bush Women in New York City, fulfilling a dream after ending up in a cab at 15 years old with Jarelle Wooler-Zolar, artistic director of the Urban Bush Women during the International Association for Blacks and Dance Conference in North Carolina. Millicent has worked with numerous artists, including Usher, Chrisette Michelle, Bill Summers from the Los Hombres Calientes, Lord Jumar from Brand Nubian, Katita Wisdom from Wu-Tang Clan, celebrity photographer Jonathan Mannion, and staging opening acts for artists like Dave Chappelle and Angelique Kidjo for the National Black Arts Festival. She choreographed the feature film, Scary Movie 5, directed by Malcolm D. Lee, and produced by David Zucker, which opened in the summer of 2013. I am pleased to have Millicent Johnny on my 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. Millicent, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. This is really exciting. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. Now, if I were to read your bio and resume in its entirety, it would take up all my entire program, so I can't do that. I've never seen such extensive credentials. Unbelievable.
Oh, thank you. Man, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, before we talk about your amazing and illustrious career that shows no signs of slowing down, let's talk about you. Mm-hmm. What was your childhood like in Louisiana growing up?
Well, I grew up in an area called Acadiana, which is where most of the French-speaking Creoles live. And with Louisiana, there's like great richness around music, dance, culture, food, art making. And then the flip yes. side to that is, you know, there's a lot of resistance and opposition because of the racial climate that, you know, Louisiana, for the most part, at least where I grew up, was extremely segregated. So, it was, you know, I hosted a TV show when I was a child, and, you know, just to give you some example of like the social climate of where I grew up, you know, the KKK would phone in on my television show, or they would meet me in the lobby in their sheets.
Wow.
They
really?
Intimidate me. Oh my God. Yes.
My goodness.
Intimidate me, you know, at one point in time. You know, the grand dragon of the KKK was applying to become a substitute teacher at my high school. Like, it was
really?
It was definitely intense. I went to a private school for 3 years, and then my last year, because I wanted to go to a performing arts high school, I transferred to a public school. And my first day at school, you know, I drove into the parking lot, and there were Confederate flags on, like, it felt like almost every car in the parking lot.
Oh, so my goodness.
That was, you know, the area I grew up in. I remember just as a child seeing signs of, you know, skinheads, the swastika sticker. Like, it definitely was intense. And so, you know, while I went to really, we lived in safe neighborhoods, and I went to, well, you know, highly recognized schools in, you know, some of the stronger school districts, we always were met with different opposition because we were different and because there were so, you know, so I think, in my opinion, just less respect for us as people of color in this particular area. You know, it's sad because we got along, but at the same time, you also knew, you know, how things were being either taken away from you, or you weren't getting access to the same type of information. You definitely weren't treated the same way. You know, so it was really tough. It was challenging. But the, you know, the rewards to being here was, you know, you always knew that you could come home. There was always family. We were always very close knit. I come from a family full of artists and musicians and singers and writers. So we were you know, in situations where, although the outside world, you were met with a lot of opposition, you definitely came home and you were met with a lot of love and a lot of respect. And then, you know, this is the festival capital of the U.S.
Yes.
So
yes,
every weekend, there's a festival. There were some access into another world that was rooted in dance, music, and culture, and food, and art making. So, you know, while we were met with a lot of opposition, we also were, you know, celebrating the kind of the joys of life because of the culture makeup of Louisiana. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, it was challenging, but beautiful in the sense that you were able to rise above it.
Oh, yeah, you had to.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You had no choice. You
oh,
had to
goodness.
Rise above it, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the woman that you spoke about, Jawale Willa Josala, I met her at 15. I knew after meeting her that she was going to be someone important to me in my life. And so I, you know, kept in touch with her. We wrote to each other, and then I started studying her choreography at 17. And then as soon as I had an opportunity to train with her at Florida State, I left home and I went to her summer dance institute and started studying her approach to choreography, her philosophy, her ways of being in the world, because I wanted to be influenced by that, and I wanted my own work to be influenced by that. And so, you know, I can honestly say I've always kind of kept my eye on the prize. I knew where I was from, but I also knew that there were other things and avenues outside of this area that could also contribute to, you know, contribute to me and my own makeup and how I would behave in the world. So, it was tough, but at the same time, you know, Louisiana created some spaces for me to meet the people I needed to meet so that I could kind of get out and strengthen whatever this, you know, this palette that I have as an artist and as a dance maker. So.
Oh, definitely. No, you said a mouthful, though. I mean, really, I was waiting to ask another question, but you are answering the questions without me asking it. So that is excellent, especially when it comes to your role model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you credit her as your role model.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely a mentor in my field and just in my life. You know, Grace Hamilton, she's also another mentor.
Okay.
Tell you about Grace. I started dancing. I won my first dance contest when I was 3, and it was a Zydeco dance contest. Me and my cousin
really?
Marla. Yes. And, you know, word got back to my mom that we won this dance contest. My older brother was a B-boy. He was training me how to break. And so my mom saw me dancing at the skating rink. My brother and his crew were, I think they were in like in a battle. And somebody picked me up and put me in the middle of the cypher. And I just started dancing. And after that, my mom put me in dance classes at Grace Hamilton. And so, you know, my mother grew up. She was a single parent. She was, it felt like she was always in graduate school. So I was always at the library with her. And I grew up valuing and reading about Katherine Dunham and Pearl Primus and all of these famous dance choreographers and anthropologists. And this became a part of my training, you know, to study dance forms, but also to study the historical and theoretical backgrounds of the people who were contributing to American dance. And so it was a natural transition for me to go and study dance in college, you know. And so Grace Hamilton, she, at one point in time, she created space for me to study dance for free at her school. And I remember, wow. I was so young, you know, I remember showing up to the studio and I guess I must have been probably about 5 or 6 years old showing up, and I was the only student there on that particular day. And so she ended up giving me like this private lesson. The private lesson went so well, the next week she put me in the advanced classes. So I was like this 5-year-old taking class with 13-year-olds because,
really?
You know, yeah, she thought that she saw my gift, I should say, right? And,
yes.
And that I could hang. And she put me in that class. And it was too funny because, you know, the other dancers were like, what is this little girl doing in this class? And I was just hanging in there, you know?
Wow.
I could hang with the best of them. So I Dalloway, Grace Hamilton, as far as education is concerned, there's another woman, Onye Ozuzu. She's the former chair of dance at Columbia College. I believe she's a dean now. But, you know, there have been so many people in my life that I've gone to for advice and for guidance as far as navigating my career, whether it was in, you know, the academic world, the commercial world, the concert dance world, who have been just open and honest with me about, you know, how to take my next steps, what questions to ask, and how to be a mentor to other people. So.
Wow. So not only do you have, you receive a good mentorship, you also give back.
Mm-hmm. You have to. Absolutely.
Oh, man. So many people don't get that, but you're right. You have to
be a learning exchange. If you really want to catalyze change, I think in any community, any situation, there has to be an understanding of the other person. You know, a good friend of mine, Carlton Turner, always says, you can't make informed decisions without information, right? So whether that information is coming from your mentor or that information is coming from your mentee, there's information that you can use to better yourself and to move forward and to even like do a serious self-analysis as to what needs to shift and change, you know, for the betterment of whatever the situation is. So, you know, I've had beautiful men and women in my life create space for me to make my mark and who continue to create space for me to make my mark. And I know had it not been for those people, I would not be here. So I definitely try to do the same thing with, you know, other folks, even with my contemporaries and to mentees, people who are coming, you know, after me. I just feel like we're better as a society and as a community when we're in touch and in tune with each other, you know?
Oh yeah, most definitely. That is so, so true. So what would you say was your big break into the business itself?
Into the business itself, my big break. Wow, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on which business we're talking about. You know, into the opera field, I did a project with Bernice Johnson Regan and Peter Sellers, Toshi Regan. Bernice Johnson Regan is the founder of Sweet Honey and the Rock. Peter Sellers is a really well-known opera and theater director in New York City Opera. I mean, everybody knows, you know, that institution. You know, I would say that was the big break into the opera field, into, you know, musical theater. I would say probably working with Universe of Poetry Theater and Party People, working with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, in the music industry, definitely working with, like, you know, folks like Los Hombres and Usher and, you know, Laura Jamar and Brand Nubian, DBR, Chrisette Michelle. I mean, there have been so many opportunities that are unique. You know what I mean? Like, I've done performance art as well, and like these visual and technology festivals. Big break. I don't know how to answer that, because there've been so many opportunities in so many disciplines and film, you know, fields, you know, working on Scary Movie with David Zucker and Malcolm D. Lee. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, you're still breaking.
I am. I mean, I think it's, you know, I've dedicated my life to my work and to creating change, you know, within fields and to understanding and contributing to a better world. So I don't know how to, you know, big break, I don't know how to respond to. But if you ask me, you know, how do I want to move forward and help shape a world?
Yes.
I think it is creating spaces for people like me to be, you know, gatekeepers, and for other people to come in and share their perspective so that we can, you know, strengthen any industry, you know, in the field. So.
Wow. That is amazing. Do you know Denise Boutte?
You know, someone, you're the second person today that's asked me if I know Denise Boutte.
You're kidding.
We've met like during like backstage at like an Essence Gala Festival, Essence Music Festival Gala, but it would be great to work with her. I mean, you're the second person today that's asked me that. So I'm wondering if the universe is trying to conspire something for us to work together.
But you guys are great. I mean, I your personalities are bubbly and nice, and you're so giving. And I interviewed her as well. You know, she was just wonderful.
Oh,
and
excellent.
she also hails from Louisiana. So I said, maybe you guys bumped it, you know,
right down
heads.
The street. No, I think she's from Maurice. You know, my people are from Kaplan. That's like maybe 8 miles apart, 15 miles apart, 15 miles away from each other.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know. There aren't, the Acadiana is so small, you know, so when you, and it's, with a last name like Boutte, absolutely.
Yes.
You got to find out if you're related, but, you know, that's the first step, find out if you're related, and then two, you know, try to see if there's a way that you can make some things happen, so.
Yeah, but you seem to be doing so well. Again, from reading your resume, all the stuff you've done, opera, entertainment, you know, all
film,
over the place.
Music,
film.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes. Absolutely. There's no stopping you. It's amazing.
Thank
you. Now, let me ask you this question, because a lot of my listeners, well, I think, would like to know this. How important would you say it is to believe in yourself and your abilities?
Oh, my gosh. It's very important. You know, I feel like part of self-preservation is making sure your mental health is intact. You know, like, I know one of the reasons I am where I am today is because there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to succeed, you know? And so you have to have a healthy mental space, mental capacity, I think, to move forward and to make conscious choices and conscious decisions that will contribute to your success. In addition to that, right, you have to have, I think, a healthy working environment, a healthy living environment, you know, the food intake that you have has to support, you know, a holistic way of thinking and living. So I feel like all of it contributes to your success. You know, the food you eat, the way you exercise, the people you keep around you, the environment you choose to live in, the environment you choose to work in, you know, how you, like, I work all of the time. Every year I make sure I treat myself to a retreat, either a yoga or meditation retreat, so that I stay in balance, because I know that I'm constantly giving, and I also need to replenish. I need some, you know, natural medicine to help me, you know, move on and move forward, you know, holistically. So it's very important. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier, specifically, like, for me, I want my little cousins to know that they can do anything that they want in this world. And I say that to my cousins because I feel like, you know, at least I travel all over the world. I speak to other people's kids all the time. You know, and I think I've taken for granted that I need to be sharing the same information with my own family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can achieve and believe whatever it is that you want. You have to make sure that your mind, your body, and your spirit are in balance and intact. You have to be honest and transparent with yourself and be honest and transparent with the people that you come, you know, you interface with, because those are the things that are going to support you on your journey. Those are the things that are going to, you know, prove to give you rewards on your journey, you know. My uncle used to always say there's no defense against professionalism. Well, the professionalism will come when your body, your mind, and your spirit are in balance, you know?
Balance. Yes. Wow. Very powerful. And, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask was, did you have any doubt that you would be where you are today? And you answered it already.
Oh, no. Okay. Never.
You left. Yeah.
Never.
No, absolutely not. I would say never.
It wasn't an option, you know. That was never a part of my psyche. So I just kept my eye on the prize, and I continue. I just always do good work, no matter what the project is. If it's a large scale project or a smaller scale project, I just do great work. You know, I admire the people that I work with. I try to get to know the community, so that the community can support me and my work. But yeah, I've never had a doubt that I wouldn't be in special spaces, you know, and creative spaces, and I wouldn't have support. It just wasn't an option.
Wow. But see, it's that belief, you know, and that positiveness, positivity.
Absolutely.
Oh, you can't be stopped.
No.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
But did you have... No, I'm moved by it because I believe in it so much, and I talk about it a lot, and I know that you have to believe in yourself in order to achieve any great success in life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
And not be around negative people.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you would not allow that into your space.
No. Never.
Now, let me ask you now. I know choreographers are known to be behind the scenes a lot, you know, mm-hmm. choreographing the moves, the steps, the everything else with the entertainers. All the performers. But now, have you ever gotten the bug to be in front of the camera instead of behind it?
I mean, when I started out in front of a camera, I hosted a television show for 4 years.
That's right.
When I was in high school. And then, you know, when you're slating in a film, you have to speak in front of the camera to kind of notate and document what scenes you're working on as a choreographer. I mean, outside of hosting that television show and just doing appearances for, you know, Urban Bush Women or for, I used to dance for the Hornets as well when I lived in New Orleans. We were always in front of the camera as dancers.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It just kind of comes with the territory, you know? I also did a lot of public speaking when I was coming up. So speaking in front of large crowds, you know, was part of the training. And then, you know, I would honestly say being a professor of dance, when you're constantly having to present yourself to in large spaces to a large group of people contributes to, I would say, quote unquote, being in front of a camera. So that is always kind of, I'm not going to say it came naturally, but I've definitely had a lot of training early on that has contributed to my experience in that.
Wow. So you have no fear when it comes to public speaking?
Oh, no, not at all.
Just give you a mic.
It's so funny. I have to give a speech for the Dance Magazine Awards. I'm presenting a Lifetime Achievement Award to Jawale Willa Josala, my mentor, on behalf of Urban Bush Women. So, you know, my biggest stress right now is like, what am I going to wear? You know,
really?
Not the speech, you know, not speaking in front of this large group of people, but like, what am I going to wear? You know, I want to make sure that I represent the organization, myself, the company, and other young Black female choreographers. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
Wow. So yeah. That's not a big deal for you. That's amazing.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I feel like when you take on the mentality that you're just sharing the wealth and you're sharing the space, then it the other things are null and void. Do you know what I mean? I'm just being and existing. I'm just sharing the space. I'm sharing the information. Yeah.
Now, I know you won numerous awards for your work. I mean, numerous. And I heard recently you won the Best Choreography Award from the Theater Bay Area Awards.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
For Party People. How important is it to you to be recognized for the work that you do?
That's a tough question because I don't usually, I'm always honored when someone takes the time to acknowledge my work, you know, because they don't have to do that, you know.
Yes.
But I also am more focused on the work itself.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
So, like, I think yes. It's a blessing and a gift to be acknowledged for your craft and for what you've contributed to certain projects and what you've contributed to the field. I think that's important for younger people and for the field to see, you know, what you are doing. Those are markers that they can see what you are doing. At the same time, I also am so, like, infatuated and obsessed with the field, you know, with choreographic problem solving, with working with producers and designers and new trends and, you know, how we can bridge worlds together. So I am honored that, you know, I've been recognized with these different awards, and I definitely, you know, would love to continue on that trajectory. But at the same time, I try not to let it go to my head. I don't think I've ever let any award go to my head because it's not about the awards. But it's more about the work and the people that I and my relationships, you know, that
yes.
I develop on those projects and yeah.
So it's not always about you, although it is about you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's important because I do believe that young dancers, choreographers, directors need to see me. You know, they need to see people that look like them doing those things so that they know it's impossible. And they need to know that you are worth the recognition and that there is value to that. You know, at the same time, it's important that I focus on the work and catalyzing change in the field. And like I said, you know, developing more and more relationships in these different industries so that I can continue to do my work, you know.
Oh, most definitely. Now, are you at the point where people, companies, organizations just calling you up? Are you still out there promoting yourself to the different opportunities?
I'm very blessed and thankful that most of my work is booked by referral, you know?
Wow.
Yeah,
yes.
I can honestly say that has definitely been a blessing, and it's definitely, I have the utmost gratitude for the field for believing in me and admiring me and, you know, friends who've been tracking the work, who refer me to other producers and directors so that I can continue to work, you know? I'm always open to conversations. You know, I've always been like that. So no matter what circle I'm in, if you want to know about me and my work, I'm always open to share. I'm an open book, you know.
Yes.
But it's been great knowing that majority of my career has been based, built on referrals like that. I think that speaks volumes to the field and to, you know, my relationship building.
Oh, most definitely. Also, it has a lot to say about you as far as working relationships that people love working with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, thank you.
If they didn't, they wouldn't be referring you, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
That is really... Now, is it difficult to work with celebrities?
No, not at all. I think you have to treat people as people.
Okay, yes.
You know? Yeah. You know, when you're working with great artists, they're about their work. They are about producing great art. You know what I mean? Whether it's a musician,
yes.
a composer, a singer, a writer, a dancer, you know, other choreographers, a director, they just want to produce great work. And so when you have a collaborative space where all of the designers are coming into it from this place of how can we make the work better? How can we make the work strong? Then you don't really, things like worrying about a celebrity just gets kind of tossed by the wayside. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't worry about that. I've been, again, very blessed and fortunate that the celebrities I have worked with, they were all about the work. So we were all like, all right, how can we make this work better? You know, how can we put our heads together and, you know, figure out what's going on in this script? Or how can we put our heads together and figure out, you know, musically what needs to happen so that everybody, all of the design team feels supported in this way? Yeah. I mean, I have heard horror stories. But I've never experienced it. I mean, I can honestly say I've never experienced that. I've always had a blast.
Okay,
collaborating
all right.
With celebrities, you know? So
Usher was a good experience. Chrisette Michelle.
Oh, my God. They were amazing. Chrisette Michelle and I did this project. It was a Martin Luther King celebration in Dallas for the National Arts, something Blacks and Letters. I should know, T-Ball. The Black Letters and Arts. Oh gosh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I apologize that I don't remember. But it was live orchestra.
Oh wow, nice.
She sang and I choreographed a solo and danced with her, and it was beautiful. I mean, she was so humble, and her, you know, her voice was very angelic, and she just wanted to make sure that she and I were on the same page, and that, you know, our voices combined were in unison. So, you know, she's just a delight to work with, and then to have the live orchestra behind us, you know, in celebration of Martin Luther King, it was amazing. She sang, I forget at the moment right now the piece that we worked on together. Yeah, it escapes me. But she was delightful. Letticy actually, I feel like Letticy was also on the program. And just, you know, before Chrisette and I had our moment, this is during the tech rehearsal, I sat in the audience and listened to Letticy's sound rehearsal. Oh my God. And her voice was amazing. And just, you know, I admire seeing other artists just be their highest self with other artists, you know? So both Letticy and Chrisette Michelle, the way that they worked with the orchestra, the way that they communicated their needs, you know, with the, just the most light and joy and reverence for the space. You know, like if I had a choice, if I had a wish, I would just wish to continue to work with artists like that, you know, who just completely come to the space, open and, you know, with integrity and. That was amazing. If Nobody Sang Along, that was the piece that Chrisette Michelle and I did together.
Oh really? Is that on YouTube as well?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I think the only people that recorded that performance, it was like the producers have the recording of the performance because it was like a special evening of art or something like that in celebration of Martin Luther King. So I'm not sure what kind of licenses they had to release the video. It may be. I'm not sure.
Because you know, today, once we hear something like that, we go straight to YouTube so we can check it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it may. I haven't checked, but, you know, it may be on YouTube somewhere. But the national, it's the organization was called T-Ball. And so they were, they contacted me to work with Chrisette Michelle. And then, it was great.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Excellent. And I know you have a lot more going on. So what's your next project?
I'm really excited to announce actually that I am choreographing a new musical called Bottle Shock. We just had a reading at the Napa Valley Film Festival. I guess it was like a week ago. I was in San Francisco. It's like so much has happened in a week.
Really? I bet.
But Bottle Shock is a musical about the wine industry. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about this project is because I get to create with a longtime friend of mine, Charles Minson Burwell, and James Sasser on this work. The founders of the Napa Valley Film Festival invited us to present a stage reading of the musical, which is very rare. If you know much about the Napa Valley Film Festival, it's all film. And so our stage reading had, like, you know, an audience of 700 people listening to this musical without any lights, without any sound, without any choreography. It was an opportunity just to kind of test the audience to see what their responses would be like. And the audience loved it. So I cannot wait to go into production for it. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that it's based on a film that was also, like, you know, highly critically acclaimed. And then the founders of the festival were the producers of the film. So, you know, they're interested in the work. So I'm really excited about that.
Wow.
And yeah. So that's Bottle Shock. I'm also touring a piece with Cleo Parker Robinson Dance, Donald Harrison, okay, and Charles Vincent Burwell, one of the same thing, creator of Bottle Shock. And this piece is looking at the connection between New Orleans and Cape Town through carnival. So, you know, with any body of work similar to Bottle Shock, you know, they flew me to the West Coast. I went to the Napa Valley area. We went to visit some vineyards. With Bambula, I get to go to Cape Town and experience carnival. I get to go to New Orleans and experience carnival. And then I get to create, you know, a larger work based on those experiences. So right now we've had a soft premiere for that piece. The hard premiere is going to start in 2016, 2017. So yeah, like,
yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Oh yeah.
I'm having fun with all of it.
That's excellent. Speaking of having fun, here at 6 Weeks of Fitness, we always talk about the importance of exercise, and dance, as you know, is exercise, mm-hmm, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Yeah. How often do you dance?
Oh my gosh, every day.
Every day. That's what I was listening for. Every day.
Every
really?
Day, like, oh my god! If I'm choreographing a piece, if I'm performing in the piece, or even if I am thinking about a work, I'm gonna find some space to work through some movement, you know. So yeah, and even if, let's say, it's not project related, I still will go to a hip hop club in session, or go, you know, into a cypher. I will go to a Latin club and,
really?
You know, yeah, and partner dance. I love movement, you know. Movement is the thing that, you know, when I did have an opportunity to quit or wallow in some type of, you know, pity because of trauma, dance was the thing that saved my life. It brought me back to my feet. You know, it's my medicine. So I'm always dancing. I'm always dancing. You know, that's very important for me to be able to go into the space and move and work through things mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I use it, you know, dance is the vehicle for me to do that.
Let me ask you a question off script here, although it is recorded. If you go to a club, right, and you're dancing, and, you know, if you dance with a guy, a partner, and that partner doesn't dance as well as you do, does that frustrate you?
Oh, God, no, not at all. I smile, I laugh, I meet people where they are, you know. My thing is,
really?
You know, there's no reason for me to steal your joy or take anything away. I want to contribute to your joy.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, oh, God, no. There's too many other things in the world that are, you know, that need other types of attention. So yeah, if I can contribute a small amount of joy to your life and it's on the dance floor and you know, yeah, I don't mind doing that.
And I ask because it could be intimidating if you're dancing with a choreographer who knows how to dance.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I do. And I've been in those spaces where, you know, you could tell the energy shifts when they find out who you are.
Yes,
exactly. But I'm not about like belittling anyone or making anyone feel bad about who they are. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna make you smile. We're gonna have a good dance. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Oh, I hear you.
No matter what, we're gonna have a good dance for sure.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, man. Always.
What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in the industry, just trying to get out there like you are today, but you're there?
I guess it depends on if they want to be a dancer or a choreographer or a performer, actor, whatever. I would say you have to keep people around you who will remind you to be your highest self, your best self. And you have to know who you are before you go into any audition space. So nice. If you're grounded in yourself, you're grounded on what your mission is, what you believe in, and you're grounded in the work, you will be fine. And know that when something comes, you know, you're interfaced with something that you don't necessarily agree with, take a step back and assess the situation so you get the full totality of what's happening. Because you have contributed to that situation, whether it's good or bad, but just take ownership in what you've contributed to that situation. Use it as a lesson and move on and move forward. Keep good people around you.
Yes.
Be in healthy, creative spaces. Be in healthy working environments. Keep healthy and holistic minded people around you so that you're always operating, you know, in positive energy. And it's not to say that you don't acknowledge the negative. You acknowledge it for what it is, but you ultimately know that you can grow and benefit from that situation. So just keep your eye on the prize. Keep moving on. Keep moving forward. Make sure you do your research. Know who's who in the business so that, you know, when you're in these situations where you're not quite sure of what to do, at least you know something about that person or that organization that you can fall back on and figure out a way to either get out of the situation or make your way through the situation. Like I said earlier, you can't make informed decisions without information. So know as much information as possible before you go on that interview, before you go on that audition, before you have that drink with that producer or have that lunch with that filmmaker. Make sure you know who they are and what they're talking about so that you can really contribute to the conversation. Also, I think most importantly, be yourself. Know who you are as yourself.
Yes.
And then, you know, spread and share your light with the world. You know, everyone, I truly believe, had, you know, we all have gifts and we all have power. So you have to know your power. You have to harness your power. And then you share it without feeling bad or guilty, you know, for your gifts. Because I think when you acknowledge that everyone has gifts and everyone has something to contribute, the rewards are greater. So, yeah.
That is wonderful advice.
Oh,
I'd like to wrap that up and just package it and give it out to the world. That is
no
great,
problem,
Millicent.
Absolutely.
Now, how can my listeners find out more about you?
Well, I'm on Twitter. They can follow me on Twitter, Millicent Johnny. Of course, like various social media, Instagram, Facebook. I'm with Block Management, Block New York. If they want to read up about me on their website. And that's pretty much it as far as like getting in direct contact with me for sure. But I love when, you know, people just follow the work. I'm always posting something on social media. And then there's always, you know, something there, the projects that I'm involved in, you know, usually there are other websites that are affiliated with the project. So I would just encourage folks to, you know, follow me on social media, you know, do a Google search from time to time to see what's going on with different projects and where I am with those projects. And if people are, you know, seriously interested in working with me, then to reach out to my management.
Okay. That's Block Management.
Yeah. Yeah. Block New York.
Block New York. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you in New York in the next 6 months or so?
Yeah, absolutely.
You said Sunday.
Yeah, I'm.
Oh, the award show. Yes.
On the award, yeah, December 6th. And then I'm back in LA. And then we've got some readings for some other projects in New York. So I'm back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, within the next 6 months for sure.
Okay, because this segment, this interview will probably air in about 2 weeks.
Excellent.
So you would have been in New York and back home by then.
Yeah, definitely. But I'll keep you posted for sure. I know Dominic has your information. My publisher has your information. So I'll keep you posted for sure on my date. And if there's a way that we can coordinate, you know, a face-to-face, that'd be fantastic, you know?
I would love to meet you.
For sure. You know? Absolutely.
I'd love to see you. That would
Thank
be great.
You.
All right. So, and look, you've been wonderful. And let me just say that on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Hopefully we'll get to see each other soon.
I hope so. I'm gonna hold you to that now.
And all right.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeks2fitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.